This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Food and fashion are two common ways people begin acquainting with cultures they're just starting to get to know. Here in St. Louis, Ajo Hansu, the chef and owner of the food truck Fufu and Sauce, is making both to introduce West African cuisine and her Tongolese culture to locals. In just 2 years, Hansu has garnered a faithful following with traditional homemade meals and handmade clothing. And this Monday, June 17th, her culinary reach will broaden with the season 3 premiere of PBS's reality cooking show, The Great American Recipe. That's also the day she launches her own line of spices and curries in collaboration with the St. Louis-based McCarthy Spice and Blends. Here to share why she's gone all in on introducing West African food to St. Louis and how it's led to the lessons that she's learned along the way, we have Ajo Hansu in studio. Welcome, Ajo.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
So, Ajo, let's start at the very beginning with the cooking. Where did you learn to cook, and who was it that taught you?
So, I learned how to cook at a very young age. Being from African culture, being born and raised in my home country of Togo, cooking was just part of the day-to-day when it comes to being a girl. So I grew up cooking with my grandma, with my aunties in the kitchen. You just helped out when it comes to cooking. Everybody was doing their part.
Mm-hmm. And when you first started sharing your home cooking with people here in St. Louis, what was it that prompted that?
So I love cooking, but I also... being here in St. Louis and in America in general, that community aspect of cooking that I grew up, you know, in Togo was kind of removed. So for me, cooking brings me back home mentally. Like it's my love place. I love cooking. And so when I'm sad, I cook. When I'm happy, I cook. And I love feeding people, like, because my grandma grew up feeding us. And so cooking is definitely my love language, and feeding my friends is a big part of that love language for me.
And what were some of the reactions that you got when you were sharing with those friends initially the food that is from your home?
Yeah, so a lot of my friends love my flavors and things like that. And at the beginning, it just, you know, that was my norm. So cooking was my norm. So when people would say, oh, it's really, really good. And I feel like, okay, well, thank you. And they're like, no, this is really, really good. And with time comes, okay, well, maybe I am really good at this. Yeah. And that love for me just grew. And it's just ongoing circle of, I love feeding you and you love the food, so I'm going to keep feeding you.
And what are some of those flavors? Can you describe them, or maybe what sorts of dishes you were making, especially for people who were being introduced to West African food for the first time?
So one of the main dishes that I make for my friends always is fufu. So fufu for us back home is a staple in West African cooking. Different countries, you know, from Ghana to Togo, which is where I'm from, to Nigeria, to everybody in West Africa, and arguably the entire continent makes some form of fufu. Mm-hmm. So our fufu differs in the type of roots of vegetables we use in the stews. So you can have plantain fufu, you can have fufu made out of cassava, you can have fufu made out of yam. So that variety in it, but in the sense of the whole continent, we all make fufu in some form and shape. Mm-hmm. So when introducing my friends to myself, because my cooking is an extension of me in a way, and so I wanted to kind of introduce as authentically as it was when I was growing up. You know, I didn't want it to, you know, tone it down or make it any different. I just gave the authenticity and the real. And I found out that's what they loved the most, was the authenticity of it all. And the love that I put into it was just a bonus. Yeah.
And so for those who are new to or unfamiliar with fufu, what is it exactly?
So fufu is, the closest thing I can say to it in American cuisine or compare it to. It's kind of like mashed potatoes, but a little bit more firm than a mashed potato would be because we're using, you know, roots like yam and cassava, so it's more fibrous, right? Mm-hmm. So then the starch component of it makes it almost like a dough, like a cooked dough almost. Okay. And so then the fufu itself is used to eat different stews. So it's a filler almost. So that's what creates like the variety of it. So mm-hmm. you can eat fufu with something like egusi, which is, you know, out of melon seeds and spinach. And, you know, that's something that's vegan. Or you can eat it with goat stew, which, you know, Africans, we love goat.
So I love goat too. Uh-huh.
Okay. So yeah, that's a little bit about fufu. But then that's only the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. fried plantains, jollof rice. You know, if you're not familiar with the jollof war, please
oh,
look
yes.
it up.
I am familiar with it very much. So
yeah, absolutely.
So for the food truck then, yeah. was there a struck by lightning kind
yes.
of moment?
Yes.
Describe it for me.
So, you know, before Fufu and Sauce, the food truck, I was really having dinner parties at my house. And, you know, those were spaces where I just created for my friends and I to kind of hang out and eat. And we grew as far as the amount of people that kept coming back to taste the food too, so much that my friend Tamika Steigers, shout out to Tamika, you know, here in St. Louis, said, hey, you know, you need to figure out a way to kind of like bring this to the public and make sure people are aware of this. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not a chef. How do you even do that? You know, in true Tamika fashion, she goes, I don't know. That's for you to figure out, but you gotta go figure it out. So you can bring the people this because it's amazing. And so she said that to me. And then Fufu went viral on TikTok. I think it was last year or somewhere last year. And it was just a lot of people that are not familiar with it. And, you know, people were having bad experiences with Fufu.
Oh.
And so some of the videos I saw, and I was like, well, wait a minute. No, fufu is great. When well done, you have to get it from somebody that knows how to do it and knows what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like my light bulb moment from what she said and what is going on. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to make sure St. Louis knows what fufu is. And so that was kind of like the catalyst of actually going and starting the food truck as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the fufu of fufu and sauce,
yeah.
I mean, it is a literal labor of love, right?
Absolutely.
How is it that it is made?
So fufu, in the true sense of fufu back home, like if this were when I was growing up, or even when I go home, because I go home every year still. Mm-hmm. So the root, like cassava and yam, will be peeled and boiled. So you will boil it until it's soft, and then you put it in a wooden mortar, and you have a pestle, and you will pound it. And it's really a community labor of love, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of cooking in African households, at least for me growing up, and as much as it is today, it's a labor of love. Everybody brings in does their part. Somebody is peeling the yam. Somebody's fanning the fire. Somebody's, you know, and when it comes to pounding the fufu in that sense, you have two or three aunties, you know, or cousins around the mortar and pestle, and it's a rhythmic,
yeah.
everybody's pounding at different intervals. And such a beautiful thing to witness. Like when I moved to America, I didn't think I would miss the sound of pandi fufu so much,
oh,
but
right.
it's something that is just part of my norm that all of a sudden doesn't happen anymore,
yeah.
you know, and you don't realize how much all of those things affects you as a person
mm-hmm.
mentally and emotionally. But yeah, you know, it's such a big part and it's a big labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so great, I think.
Right. We're talking with Ajo Hansu, who is the chef and owner of the food truck Fufu and Sauce. Ajo is also a competitor on season 3 of PBS's reality cooking show, The Great American Recipe, which premieres on Monday, June 17th, and will also be the launch of another part of your entrepreneurial
yes.
journey.
Yes.
Ajo, you're talking about what it was like when you first moved to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You were 14, 15?
14.
Right, when you moved to the U.S., not first to St. Louis, but to New York.
To New York City.
First.
Yes.
And then you came to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about being here and what you experienced in those early years as an immigrant that led to your decision to create this food truck?
Yeah. So, you know, moving to America at age 14 was a total culture shock, mm-hmm. you know, from a place like Togo, West Africa, which is a very small country in Africa where, you know, it's sunshine all year long, right?
Oh, right?
To a place like the U.S. with snow and things like that. So that was something that was a culture shock at first. But nothing would have prepared me for, like, the lack of diversity of food that I experienced here growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that, you know, wasn't preview to my 14-year-old brain, right? But the experience is like going to school and the cafeteria doesn't have anything that I eat, you know, because it's, you know, this is me coming to a different culture that's completely different.
Right.
And so, you know, I remember I tell the story of walking into the cafeteria and the, you know, the school lunch for that day was, I think it was cheese sticks and ravioli. And I had no idea what that is. And, you know, I tried it and it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't my flavor profile, wasn't my palate. And I was 14.
Right.
You know, it's not like 20-something where you're like, okay, I need nutrients. So I was starving myself at school. And my mom would say, why don't you just take food to school? Just take food to school. It's okay. So one day I took food to school and, you know, was ridiculed by students and kids because they just didn't have the exposure
right.
of what it was I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just became an easy target because kids are just, you know, kids are kids,
yeah.
you know. And so, you know, that experience for me was so traumatic because, you know, here I was in a culture that I didn't know and understand. I'm trying to learn the ways, the language, the education system, all of these things. And the one thing that was so natural to me, my food, it was becoming apparent to me that I can't even do that safely to
right.
the point where, you know, I was eating in the bathroom at school because I didn't want to be made fun of.
Oh.
So an experience like that sticks with you.
Of course.
So the Great American Recipe, what it represents for me, you know, deeply is, you know, that exposure now, you know, is going to be out there. This is a national platform for people to learn and know what fufu is, right? So then, you know, a high school kid in the middle of Iowa seeing this on, you know, on TV, and the next African child in high school doesn't have to eat fufu in the bathroom because it's, oh, I know what that is. I saw it on TV. It's fufu. So
right.
all of a sudden it becomes the norm, or at least some level of exposure is brought to it. And so that is the biggest part for me out of this. And, you know, and of course, the attention to the food truck and all of that is great, too. You know, we're here for that.
Right, right.
Yeah, certainly.
And so you came to St. Louis in the early aughts, early 2000s?
Yeah. So okay. we came here to St. Louis. I was about, I think it was like 2004-ish is where we arrived here mm-hmm. in St. Louis. So I grew up in St. Louis.
Right,
pretty
right.
much. St. Louis is literally my home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of home now, I'm at a point where it's both. It's not just Togo anymore.
Right.
St. Louis is also part of it. Yeah.
Well, and in one of the trailers for The Great American Recipe, you say, if I haven't cooked for you, then I don't love you. So does that mean you love St. Louis?
I do love St. Louis. I absolutely love St. Louis. St. Louis has been great, and St. Louis has shown a lot of love to fufu and sauce. And I just want that to keep going and growing because I really, really love this community.
Mm-hmm. And the reception for your food truck, which has been running now a couple of years, it has been really positive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, What kind of response have you gotten? Are there specific examples or instances in which the reason you started it has really been affirmed?
Yes. I would say yes to that question because I have specific examples. The reason why I love what I do, because I get to experience people's real-time emotions when it comes to connection to mm-hmm. culture and just and food too. So I'll give you this example of my food truck was doing an event and this lady came to the food truck like any other patron. She's like, "Oh, I would like to purchase." She said, "What is the most non-meat options that you have on the food truck. So I say, okay, I have our palm nut stew. So our palm nut stew, we usually make it with our oxtail. But sometimes when I try to give vegetarian options, I will sub the oxtail for eggplant. So I had a palm nut stew made with eggplant. And I was like, well, I have that. Would you like to try some? And she says, sure. So I gave her a piece in as a sample before she purchased it. And she ate it, and then she started getting emotional, and then she started getting teary-eyed, and she was crying. And in my brain, the first thing I thought about was, oh my God, this is too spicy.
Right.
Or either she's bit into a habanero, because sometimes I have habaneros in my sauce. So she definitely, so I'm sitting there trying to, oh my God, do you want some water? What can I do? And before I could finish, she said, no, you don't understand how much you miss home until you're reminded of how much you miss home. Mm. And this was a lady that grew up in Trinidad and Tobago until the age of 17 or 18 when she moved to the U.S., and she hasn't been back since. And she told me, like, this stew that you made me, that I don't even know the name of, my grandma used to make it when we were back home in Trinidad and Tobago, and this is the first time I've had it since I left. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the most... Because that's what I want to do. I want to connect people and culture through my food and to share that experience. And it happens all the time. People come to the food truck. They're like, oh, my God, this is very good. This reminds me of this. And so it's how much more we're connected,
right,
than we think is truly the community aspect of Fufu and Sauce and my brand.
Yeah. So that friend, Tamika,
yes,
had said, this needs to get out to people,
yes,
in the public. So on that note, I mean, in the first year of running the truck, mm-hmm, where did you take it?
So the first year of running the food truck, we've done so many different events here in St. Louis. We've done Festival of Nations. We've done Taste of St. Louis. We've done all the major festivals that just come about in the summertime. Because my thought process was this. If I'm trying to bring this to as many people as possible, I need to be mobile. I need to be able to go into different communities and present it in places where the crowd was going to already be there, right? And so that was my idea behind going doing events to events. And we found that to be, you know, very, very, it was received well. People would come to festivals specifically to come find us because they know we're going to be here and we're going to be there. So that's what we did.
And have people asked you to come where they are?
Yes. Yes. We've had events that we've done, you know, and as to your point, I think we mentioned this earlier when we went to SLU. SLU was one of those experiences for us that, you know, I would tell you. So another part of me, and this is more personal, and as many things are that I do in my business, I feel like comes from a personal place. But I remember being a college student in America and missing my food. Like when, because you're a freshman or a sophomore in college, you're in the dorms, you can't really have, you know, cooktop because, you know, fire safety wise. And so I remember being in college and just missing my food and like commiserating with other African students. They're like, yo, when's the last time you've had jollof rice? You know, just complaining. So through that thought process, I was like, well, you know, it would be cool if we can get all the universities locally to cater to like different ethnic groups that are part of their institution.
Right.
Because we found out that a lot of those students, outside of missing their parents and their family and their loved ones, food is the next best thing. And I don't think that's limited to only African students or, you know, students from the diaspora.
Right.
I think it's limited to every person that is from a different place and is just now in this place, right? Right. Imagine, you know, going somewhere else in the world where you can never have, I don't know, a hot dog. You're going to miss it. There's, you know, that's part, you're going to miss it. And so that's why we found SLU to be, you know, like a champion for what they've done, allowing us to come and test out our theory of how much their students are going to take to this.
Mm-hmm.
And to our, not surprise, because I know people are going to love the food, but to our amazement, every student of all ethnicity, of all regions came, not just the African students. You know, I had a Colombian student that had the plantains and say, oh my God, this reminds me of what my mama used to make.
Right.
You know, and he came from Colombia to go to SLU. And so it's, you know, there's just this diversity that keeps coming across when it comes to Fufu and Sauce and our brand in connecting us as a people through food. Mm-hmm. Because everybody loves a good plate of food.
They do.
They don't really care where it's from. If it's good, they're going to eat it. And that's what we're finding out.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've talked with chefs and restaurateurs on the show before who are bringing cuisines from all over the world to where they're making their home here in St. Louis. And one of the things that they've talked about is how hard it can be to find ingredients.
Yes.
So to what extent has that been a struggle for you? And is that why you have this line of curries and spices coming out on Monday?
It is definitely being a struggle. And the second aspect of it, too, is just reaching more people that want to try this food and try our cuisine. Because I'll tell you what, one thing about African food, not only that it is good, it's also healthy for you.
Mm.
Because things like our egusi, for example, that is a 100% vegan meal that is full of nourishment. Like, it's a spinach-based stew that's made with fresh tomatoes and our curry spices and seasonings. And the egusi being the start of that, which, you know, is made out of, egusi is made out of roasted melon seeds that's made kind of into a powder, kind of like how you would crush almonds. So it's all natural, it's full of vitamins, and then it's made in palm oil, which is also a very good oil for your skin. And so we give you healthy food that tastes great, right? And I want to empower other people to do that. So I know that with the food truck right now, we're here in St. Louis. So St. Louis has access to us, right? But not everybody across America is going to do that or is going to have that ability. So bringing these curries to here empowers you as a home cook, just like me, to explore all these other options that are there other than the typical and introduce healthy eating to your family. Because listen, I will eat healthy food if it tastes great. And so
Right. That's
what Fufu and Sauce does. I don't want healthy food if it's like, if I have to like crunch my eyes just to swallow it. You know, I don't want that. And so we provide that with the curry and things like that. And that's what we're hoping to reach more masses all across America with our curry line. Yeah.
Is there a dish that you offer with the food truck that in its ingredients really kind of presents so much of what West African culture is, and then specifically what Togolese culture is?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, the number one thing that truly encompasses all of what Togolese culture is for me, myself, is in that curry that I'm offering, right? Mm-hmm. So in this curry, there's many, many different ingredients that are very good for you. You know, I have garlic and onion and different, you know, different kind of spices. Like, there's nutmeg in there. There is chives in there. It's just all these things that when I go to the market back home, one of my favorite things to do when I go home every December is go spice shopping. Mm-hmm. I love walking through the market and just getting all those smells and those flavors, and because it takes me back to the cooking at home. It takes me back to the community at home. It takes me to the culture at home. And in Togo, we're such a communal culture. I grew up in a culture where, you know, the lady down the street can spank you, and you better not come home and tell your mom, because that's double spanking.
Okay.
Because mommy know that you did something wrong, right? It's that trust in community,
right?
You know, that I grew up with. And so seeing all of that and those feelings, I feel like, is what I pour into this curry. And that curry is in everything I make, you know, from our jollof rice to our egusi to our palm nut stew with the oxtail to our pepper goat. Everything on that truck is full of that love and community that I feel when I go home. Yeah.
So with the show, and we don't want to give any spoilers here, what was it like to represent both St. Louis and West Africa and Togo on a national program?
Yeah. Wow. That question it's a little bit emotional, but it's very full circle for me, right? You know, because I feel like when we moved here from Togo to America, you know, being young at 14, 15 years old, it was a lot trying to figure it out. And in that process of figuring out, part of you feels like in order for me to assimilate into this new culture that I am, that I'm learning, I have to kind of let go of some of what I was, you know, the African in me. Okay, well, I can't eat fufu at school, or maybe fufu is not accepted here. So if I want to fit in here, I have to let go of fufu, you know. But now with fufu and sauce, it's kind of getting into this stage of my life where it's like, no, they're both equally accepted and they're both equally here because they're both part of me and they're both who I am. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, it's such a full circle moment of things about myself that I tried to hide or put away or were no longer okay because of this new culture that I am coming into and learning are not coming back, because that is what is truly being loved. I just needed to share that with people. And I think that's what this show is doing for me, is giving me that voice and that platform to reclaim that and start sharing it with the world. Because I think that's what I was always meant to do. This experience of what life has been for me is so I can share it with people so they can see that it is okay. It is okay to be multifaceted. It is okay to be all these different things. As long as you're doing it authentically and you're sharing it with joy, I think that's it.
Ajo, thank you so much for joining our program.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations, and leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.